الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we're discussing the principle, the people of knowledge, the mission with regards to buying and selling. الأصل في البيوع, الأصل في البيوع, خيار المجلس, خيار المجلس. The fundamental principle with regards to buying and selling is that both parties, they have the option and the right to continue with the contract or to nullify so long as they're still together and had not separated after initially establishing the contract. We're discussing some translations of these terms in our previous class, and I had remembered a particular book in my library at home, alhamdulillah, is called Mu'jam Lugha Al-Fuqaha. Mu'jam Lugha Al-Fuqaha. It's the dictionary of the language of the scholars of jurisprudence. The language of the scholars of jurisprudence. And it has a number of different definitions of these terms that are used often in the books of the scholars of fiqh, like this issue here. And this particular work is also translated. It has the definition, of course, in Arabic, and then it's also translated into English and into French. I had intended to bring the book to show the brothers in the class, and I forgot it. Wallahu al-musta'an. But inshallah, I bring it tomorrow. But I do have the definition of two of those terms that we're discussing, khiyar al-majlis. We're discussing what that means. It means the option in the gathering after signing the contract, that so long as they did not part from each other, they have the right to continue or to nullify. They have the right to continue or to nullify. This is what we discussed in our previous class. So the definition in English of this particular term, as is in Mu'jam Lugha Al-Fuqaha, the right of unilateral repudiation of contract during session of sale. During session of sale. Because we mentioned a couple of terms like guarantee or warranty, so on and so forth. What was the term? Buyer's remorse, and other terms like this. And these are ideas that are similar or close, but it's not what is intended here, because what is intended here is the right for both parties, not only for the buyer. Not only for the buyer, rather the right is for both parties. So this definition is inshallah correct here. Right of unilateral, any both parties. Repudiation, yeah, I need to invalidate the contract, repudiation of the contract during session of sale. During session of sale, any meaning so long as they're together in the place where the sale is taking place and they did not separate from each other yet. As for if they leave each other's company, then after that, then that right ends, as we have seen in the previous class. As we have seen in the previous class, we have began discussing the next aspect of that. We've seen that the khiyar, the option that is given to the buyer and the seller, it has seven aspects. We discussed the first one, which was khiyar al-majlis. We discussed that in our previous class. And we began to discuss the issue of khiyar al-shart. Khiyar al-shart, which is the option with regards to a condition that will be made. And in the Mu'jam Lugha Al-Fuqaha, it mentions here, khiyar al-shart, stipulated right of cancellation. Stipulated right of cancellation, optional condition. So this is what we're discussing here. أن يشترط أحد المتعاقدين أو كلاهما أن يكون له حق فسخ العقد إلى مدة معينة.
It is that one of the parties in the contract, either the buyer or the seller, or both of them, they will set a condition that they have the right to nullify the contract up to a known period in time. Yani up to a set known period in time that they agree upon. So this will be a period more. Yani a period more. The khiyar al-majlis, this is just at the time of sale and at the place of sale. After they depart from each other, that option is gone. So if they like, they can make that option of choosing to continue or to nullify the contract longer, so long as they agree upon it. So this is what we are discussing now, khiyaw al-shart. In English, what is it called? Stipulated right of cancellation. Stipulated right of cancellation. So a stipulation, that's a condition. Huh? That's like a condition. Stipulation is a condition. Yani, it's a conditional right of cancellation that they agree upon, and it will be for a certain period that is known. That is known. So we discuss this issue now. And the people of knowledge, they mention خيار الشرط وهو أن يشترط المتعاقدان أو أحدهما الخيار إلى مدة معلومة لإمضاء العقد أو فسخه. That is that the both parties, the buyer and the seller, or one of them, he will set a condition to have the option for a period known to either continue or to nullify the contract. Or to nullify the contract. So for example, if the purchaser, he said 5 days. He told the seller, I need 5 days. I set a condition for 5 days. Within up to 5 days, I have the right to return the item and to get my money back and to nullify the contract. So if they agree upon that and the contract is established upon that, from that period, 5 days. From that point, there's 5 days. Once that 5 days goes over and he does not take his right, then that option is now finished. Then that option is now finished. We understand the issue? Alhamdulillah. This is the condition that we're discussing. خيار الشرط. خيار الشرط. So the people of knowledge, they mention here that the period for that condition, it must be known. It must be known. One cannot say, yes, I'll purchase the item, but I have the condition to return it whenever I like. Without setting the period. Without setting the period. No, he has the period, it must be set. The period, it must be known. Likewise, the seller as well, if he chooses the option that he will sell the item with the condition that he has the right to nullify the contract and to give the money back and to take his item back after such and such period, then this is lawful so long as the period is known. So long as the period is known. It's been collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that he says, إن رجلا ذكر للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يخدع في البيوع. That he mentioned that a man, he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he told him that he is always being taken advantage of in buying and selling. He's being taken advantage of. And people are deceiving him and they're tricking him, taking advantage of him in the transactions. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا بايعت فقول لا خلابة. إذا بايعت فقول لا خلابة. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, if you do a contract and if you buy or sell something, then you say لا خلابة. لا خلابة. لا خلابة يعني لا خداع. لا خداع. Meaning that there's no trickery here. There's no deception here. The contract is going down with no deception here. Meaning the people of knowledge have mentioned what this narration means, that he has the option. He has a choice. Meaning that if there is something wrong or it's not according to that which is mentioned, then he has the option to return it. He has the option to return it. So this is from the evidence of that. So also in another wording that is mentioned by Bayhaqi, rahimahullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ثُمَّ أَنْتَ بِالْخِيَارِ تِكُلِ سِلْعَةٍ ابْتَعْتَهَا ابْتَعْتَهَا ثُمَّ أَنْتَ بِالْخِيَارِ تِكُلِ سِلْعَةٍ ابْتَعْتَهَا ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ. He said, and then after that, if you say that لا خلابة, يعني لا خداع, there's no trickery, there's no deception, then you will have the right to your decision to return the item or not up to three nights. So this is from the evidence is establishing this right. Also, there is another narration that is narrated by Ibn Umar as well, radiallahu anhuma, also in al-Bukhari and Muslim. We had taken it in our previous class. And in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-bay'ani bil-khiyar. Al-bay'ani bil-khiyari ma lam yatafarraqa. أو يقول أحدهما لصاحبه اختار. In some wordings, أو يكون بيع الخيار. أو يكون بيع الخيار. That the buyer and the seller, they have the choice, so long as they did not separate from each other. They have the choice. This is in reference to that which we discussed in our previous class. Or that one of him, he will say to his companion, you choose now. We discussed that. Likewise, that they also have the option to forfeit that right if they like. Yani immediately. He can say at the time of the contract, there's no choice. There's no option no more. You purchase it now. There's no option now. You take it as it is, as you like. And you clarify for him and he agrees there's no option to return it. Or that there's no option for him to get his money back. So on and so forth. There's no option for him to get his item back if they both make the agreement. Or if one of them make the agreement, this is lawful. أو يكون بيع الخيار. أو يكون بيع الخيار. Or else it would be بيع الخيار. The people of Nahr, as they mentioned, what is intended here, بيع الشرط. Meaning that one who will set a condition for him specifically, or both of them will set a condition, and they're both in their best interest that they agree upon. Any for a term that is appointed. For a term that is appointed. So the question is now, how long would that period be? Is it a set period up to so many days, or so many months, so on and so forth? The people of Nahr, they differed about that, but Allah knows best is that there's no certain period, and there's no set time, and there's no limit. So long as the period is known, so long as the period is known. He can set the period for 3 days, or 5 days, or for a month, whatever they agree upon with regards to their contract. And this is because, as we have seen from the fundamental principles of fiqh, من قواعد القواعد الفقهية من القواعد الفقهية بل من القواعد الفقهية الكبرى, from the major principles of fiqh, there are five of them. And from them, العادة محكمة يعني العرف يحكم به. The customs of the people will be used as a judge in certain circumstances. Whenever there are terms that are not clarified and they're not set, that the limits are not set with regards to certain situations or certain rulings in the book and in the sunnah, they're not set in the legislation, nor are they set in the Arabic language. At this time, the customs of the people will be the judge to determine that period. This comes a lot in the issue of al-mu'amalat, the issue of mu'amalat, dealings with the people, contracts with the people, in buying and selling, and likewise in marriage and divorce. And it's incumbent for the husband to spend on his wife bil ma'roof, yani bil urf, yani according to the customs of the people, for the likes of him and her. So it's not a set amount in this circumstance, because if it was a set amount, maybe it's too much, one particular man, he could never afford that amount. Or maybe it's not enough for a particular woman because she is in a higher status of lifestyle and in the society. So it's left up to the urf to judge this person. He has this job or occupation and this level in society, so he must spend on his wife accordingly. And likewise, her position in society, so on and so forth, she would be spent on accordingly. The women will not be spent on the same, and the obligation of the man for spending on his household is not the same. It goes back to the customs. So this is a point that comes often. So here in our issue, now there's no clarification of the limits set with regards to this in the book, nor in the sunnah, nor in the Arabic language. So therefore the judge in this affair is the urf. Therefore the judge in this affair is the urf. So it goes back to the customs of the people. They set however long they like that which they agree upon, so long as the period is known. So if they set a condition, he bought a vehicle, but for example, there's a condition that they have the option. Is it allowed for one of them to sell or do something with the item in those days? Is it allowed for one of them to, for example, if there's a condition between the two of them, that up to 5 days, they have the option to nullify the contract. Is it allowed for them to sell the item in that period? If it's in the right of both of them, they're not allowed. They're not allowed in that period. They're not allowed to violate each other's rights in that period. So إِذَا كَانَ الْخِيَارُ لَهُمَا فَلَا يَجُوزُ إِلَّا بِالْمُوَافَقَةِ فَلَا يَجُوزُ إِلَّا فلا يجوز التصرف إلا بالموافقة. If the right is from both of them, then it's not allowed for either one of them to do anything any individually for that item except with the consent of the other. Except with the consent of the other. For example, maybe the person, he sold his car, but he has 5 days. He has 5 days option, stipulation. Does he want to invalidate the contract? It's up to him. So maybe he finds that a family member needs it, for example. So he goes ahead and gives it away as a gift. He goes ahead and gives it away. He can't do that before he has the consent of the other person, because they both have the condition and the right. So they have to have the consensus of each other. They have to have each other's consensus before they can do something with it. As for if the right was for one of them and not the other, then the one who doesn't have the right, he's not allowed to do anything. But as for the one who has the right, he can do as he likes with it. So if he did what as he likes with it, then that's an indication that he has chosen to nullify the contract. For example, if a person, he bought the vehicle and he said, I need one month as a khiyar shart, as an option, a stipulation that if I like, I can return it within a month. But then a week later, somebody offers him almost double the price for the vehicle for some, or a good price for the vehicle out of nowhere. So he doesn't have to go back to the seller to get the permission, because the seller, he doesn't have no right at this time. The condition was set for the buyer only. So if he sells it, it's okay. And by him selling that, now it's as if he has affirmed that he is not going to continue the contract. The point is that it's allowed for him. As for the seller in this case, it's not allowed for him because he didn't have a condition. And the same is vice versa. Yani the same is in the right of the other. So whichever one he sets the condition, he has the right to do as he likes with it because it's his condition. As for the one who did not have the condition, he cannot do anything in that period. And he doesn't have a right to sell or to do anything with the item. The people of Nod, as I mentioned here, with this stipulated condition, the stipulated right to nullify the contract, the stipulated right of cancellation, there is a means or a way out of some of those, or of one of those forbidden contracts that we had discussed before. And it was about the one who was purchasing an item in installments. We mentioned, for example, somebody who wants to buy a vehicle, but he doesn't have the money up front. But he knows somebody who has the money up front. But that person, he will not purchase the vehicle for himself. He's going to purchase it to sell it to him in installments. And then he's going to mark the price up accordingly. And then he's going to set an agreement with him for installments over a certain period. In Arabic language, this was called bay'u al-taqsit. Bay'u al-taqsit. In installments. They called it marabaha, yani in the banks today. But what is intended here is that the person who is selling the car, he doesn't have the vehicle. And there's a person who wants to buy the vehicle, but he doesn't have the money. He wants to pay installments. So the first thing that one would think is that, okay, give me a down payment, or sign a contract, or make some binding promise that if I purchase the item for you, that you're not gonna back out so I don't get stuck with the item, right? But is that lawful? That's not lawful. Why is that not lawful? Because he's selling something he does not own, and because he's attempting to make a profit off something he cannot guarantee. So these are two issues. لا تبيع ما ليس عندك. ونهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ربح ما لم يضمن. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not sell that which you do not have. يعني ما لا تملكه, that which you do not own. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade making profit on something that's not in your guarantee. You cannot guarantee that you can deliver it. It's not even yours yet. So here in this situation, a person, he's now selling and guaranteeing something that he does not even have, or he does not even own. So that's not allowed. So what can he do? What is the way out for this? One way out for this, we discussed it in the previous class. What was that? They would agree. He would tell them, you want the vehicle? Okay, I'll get the vehicle. You're going to buy it? He says, he's going to buy it. And they will make an agreement without any binding promise. He can make a promise or he was, you know, inshallah, like this, without, but nothing is binding. He'll buy the car on his own, and then he will come to him with the car. And if he likes to buy it, he can buy it. If he doesn't like to buy it, he doesn't have to buy it. There's nothing binding on him at all. There's no down payment. There's no contract signing. Nothing is binding at all. They're both still free. So he can go buy it and then come back and say, I have the car now. Are you still interested? And if he's still interested, he'll say, yeah. And they'll sign the contract and they'll make the agreement on the installments and the price. Understand? This is the lawful way. But somebody may feel like this is a risk for them. And the one who's buying the vehicle, he doesn't want to get stuck with the vehicle. So he needs some type of assurance that he's not going to get stuck with the vehicle. Because if the guy, he doesn't wind up buying the vehicle for whatever reason, now he's going to be stuck with the car he doesn't have, and he's not really ready to try to sell it. Understand that? So what can he do? He can benefit from the issue that we're discussing now. Khiyar al-shart. He can buy the vehicle with the condition to return it. With a condition to return it over a certain period. Say, I'll purchase the vehicle now, but I need 5 days, for example. 5 days to return it. So he'll buy the vehicle, and he'll do the deal, and he has the condition for 5 days to return it if he likes. If he likes to return it, he can return it within 5 days, no questions asked. And then he will now call his friend, I have the vehicle now, will you like it? He said he likes it, he comes and gets it, and he buys it, and everything's good. If something is like, actually, no, I don't have the money now, something came up, or actually I found a good deal, I just made a deal with somebody else, barakallah fik, and now he's stuck with the vehicle. But he's not stuck with the vehicle now because he used khiyar al-shart, the stipulated right of cancellation. So he'll just take the vehicle back to the person he bought it from, and he will say, I choose not to continue, and I want to cancel the contract. And to cancel the contract. This is the way out for this, the legislative way out for this. You understand that? So this is beneficial. Many of these affairs, alhamdulillah, they're very clear. And the legislation and all of the authentic texts, they're in line with the sound mind and the proper reasoning and the best interest of mankind. But unfortunately, the enemies of al-Islam, they've had authority for some time, and many people, they're confused with the proper way. They think that the ways of the Westerners are better or the best way, and this is something very dangerous, or that the only way to do business and the only way to get money and the only way the economy will work through the land is to follow the ways of the Westerners. You have to take interest, you have to do this, you have to do that, this is not proper, this is not correct. Rather, if a person is not careful, this could be from one of those things that will nullify the Islam, to think that there are ways other than the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that is better or preferable or more beneficial, or that it's allowed in the first place. This is not allowed. So the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the way of success and guidance, and is the good way in all aspects and all affairs of life. Alhamdulillah. One of the greatest things that we're tried with in these days, specifically in all times, is that we must prefer that guidance and strive upon that way, to show preference to the limits that are set, and to follow that and abide by that, and suffice with it. Because everything that glitters is not gold. So some things, they look real good. Some things on paper or in your mind, and the shaitan, he decorates them and he adores them for the person and the likes like this, but it may not be pleasing to Allah. That's the first step one he will take before doing business. Is it pleasing to Allah? If it is, let's get involved. If it's not pleasing to Allah, then I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to get involved. You understand that? This is very important. So we cannot sell the pleasure of Allah for a dollar. The pleasure of Allah for a dollar. This is very important. This is the trial and test that we're facing. So there are limits that we have to abide by. We're tried and tested with that. And then also there are temptations that are in front of us, and we're tried and tested with that. And the winners are those who learn the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abide by them. And abide by them and strive against their souls to establish that. So when will the option for the condition end?
On the sixth day.
Whenever the period is over, or whenever the one who set the condition makes a decision. Either whenever the period goes by, or whenever the one who set the condition takes his decision. You understand that? So if he doesn't make a decision by the end of the period set, then the condition is finished. If he takes his option to nullify in that period, then likewise the condition is finished. The people of knowledge, they mentioned the beneficial principle here, and they say al-qa'ida أن الساقط لا يعود الساقط لا يعود هذه في الحقوق الساقط لا يعود. That a person, if he backed down from one of his rights, he's not allowed to come back and claim it later. So if he let the period pass, he had 5 days to choose, and then he let that pass, he did not take his option, he cannot come back later and say, oh, I want to take it now. Or if somebody says, you know what, let's purchase it right now, we have no option whatsoever. We forfeit the right for the khiyar, and the contract is binding regardless. And if they agree upon that, he can't say that, oh, you know what, actually, I want my condition. So if a person, he has a right, and he lets that right go, and he forfeits that right does not come back. He does not have the right to call for that right again. He already dropped it. It doesn't return. Wallahu a'lam. Time is getting shorter between Maghrib and Isha. How much time do we have? Huh? 7 minutes. 7 minutes. After this, the third issue is Khiyar al-Ghabn. خيار الغبن خيار الغبن. We had خيار المجلس, خيار الشرط, and خيار الغبن. الغبن, the people of knowledge, they mention الغلبة. الغبن يعني الغلبة, person who will be overcome. But what it means is that a person, for example, he will buy something that costs $8 for $10. He'll buy something that costs $8 normally for $10. Or he'll buy something that costs $100 for $130, for example. This is called ghabn. He's paying a price that's higher than the normal market price. Yani, that's higher, yani, in a harmful manner. Not just a couple of dollars, not just a little here and there, but in a manner that's harmful. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned, for the majority of the time, the one that will be maghbun, the one that will be taken advantage of here, is the buyer, the mushtari. But it could happen to the buyer, but it could happen to the seller. Like if he's heedless, or if he's negligent, and the likes like this, he doesn't even know the value of his own item, and somebody takes advantage of him. This is possible and could happen in certain circumstances. But the majority of the time, the one who will be taken advantage of is the buyer. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned from the example. So a person, he buys something that normally in the market value is $8, for example, and they charged him like 10 or 12, and they upped it. This is the general meaning. But for it to be considered, it has to be an additional amount higher than the market price that's harmful, in a manner that's harmful. And sometimes they do the likes of these affairs for people on Hajj, or people in Umrah. If you don't know, you're gonna go to the market and you wanna buy some small bag, and they're gonna tell you, oh, that's 400 riyals. And somebody else will come by and buy the same thing for 10 riyals. Literally, this is, unfortunately, this is something that's called ghabn. Ghabnun fahish. So this is very bad. If a person, he realized that, he can go back and get his money. Or he sold him something that normally cost $100, he sold it for $200. Yani, like this, it's a normal price. He was not aware, and he didn't know. And then they took advantage of him like this and marked it up in a manner that's clearly harmful, then this is called ghabn. So the person who is maghbun, the one who was taken advantage of here, he has a khiyar. He has the right. If he finds out that was not a correct price, and they took advantage of him in that, and the fact that he was unaware of the correct market value, then he can return it and get his money back. So the people of knowledge, as I mentioned, ضابطوا الغبن, the principle of understanding this غبن, and يبيع البائع السلعة على المشتري بثمن يزيد على ثمنها المعتاد أو المستحق. يعني that person, the seller, he will sell the item to the buyer for a price that's higher than the normal price, or higher than the price that it deserves. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned, mata takunu ziyadatu ghabanan, and when will the ziyada be considered ghaban? And this is the original fear, that the item will have a known price, or will have a roundabout price. Some items have a known price. The market value, wherever you go, you buy that same item for the same price. In this market, in that market, in this store, in that store. Other items, they're not necessarily a set price, but they're very close. There's some, maybe this, it's a thobe. For example, maybe certain phones, the iPhone, for example. Whatever store you go to, it's the same price. Whatever store you go to, it's the same price. In general, like this. Other items, maybe, for example, a thobe, a certain type of a thobe or a garment, and this market is 15, and this market is 20, and this one is 18. You might find it a bit marked up in this other place, or sometimes you might find it a bit down. So some items, they're like this. They have a set price. Wherever you go, it's the same. And other items, they don't have a set price, but it differs from market to market, but there's a general range. There's a general range. So when will the increase be considered ghabn? The people of knowledge, they mention if it's more than the normal price. If it's more than the normal price, and it's harmful. متى تكون الزيادة غبنا إذا كانت الزيادة على المعتاد. يعني that it's higher than the normal, the normal price. It's higher than the normal price, and it has come in Zad al-Mustaqna, and from the books of the Fuqaha of the Hanabila, they say, إِذَا غُبِنَ فِي الْمَبِيْهِ غَبَنًا يَخْرُجُ عَنْ الْعَادَةِ. If he is taken advantage of in an item, he sold for more than its normal price, higher than its normal price. So the person, he will have the option. He'll have the option, if he likes to return it, he can. If he bought it for 25 and it's supposed to be 10, you say, it's 25, everybody else got it. You buy it in this store for 25, how much is it? $25. And you go right next door, how much is it? He says $10. You say, wait a minute, this guy just sold me for $25. That's marked up. And if you go to another, how much is it? Oh, $10. How much is it? $10. They all selling it for $10. This guy got me for $25. He's taking an advantage. This is called ghabn. This is not allowed. So we should, there's one thing we don't want to mix up with regards to the ribih. There's no limit on the ribih. There's no limit on the profit one can make. A person, he can make 10% profit. He can make 100% profit. He can make double the profit. There's no limit on the amount that he can make on the profit, but he cannot sell the item in a manner that's higher than the market value, in a manner that's harmful. You understand this? So he can sell it for, and he can make as much as he likes from it, so long as he does not sell it in this manner that's considered ghabn. That's considered ghabn, higher than the market value. No. So if the increased amount on the price is more than the market value, the normal market value, then the person has the right for the khiyar. He has the right to nullify the contract. Some items, they're set price. Others, they fluctuate, but there's a limit that they have. So if he was taken advantage of and he was sold the item more than the normal going value price, and then he is allowed to nullify the contract and to get his money back. So if the phone, for example, costs $500, and somebody, normally it's a set price. One phone, this type of phone, this model of phone, is $500. Wherever you go, you go to Best Buy, it's $500. You go to Apple, it's $500. You go to here, it's $500. It's a set price. It's something that's known. And a person, he was unaware of this affair, and somebody took advantage of him and sold it to him for $550. And then he found out that this $50 is above the market value. Then he has the right to take it back. This is called khiyar al-ghabn. If it's an item that is not a set price, it varies. Any, like a thobe, for example, some one type of thobe, maybe some will sell it for 20, others 25. You might find somebody mark it up for 30, but it's a relative a price in this area. You're not finding it more than 30, for example. And then somebody, he sold it for 50. And then he come to find out, he's like, everybody else, they got it for 15. This guy, he's got it for 25. This brother, he's over here, he's got it for 30. How come he charged me 50? Nobody's selling it for that much. This is called ghabn. You understand? So now he has khiyar al-ghabn. So this is the issue that that we're discussing. If he likes, he can go back and tell him, look, this is you took advantage of me, and this is a price marked up higher than the market value, and I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I want my money back. This is lawful. This is lawful. Wallahu a'lam. Naam. You had a question.
So with the example of the phone, let's say it's sold out and you can't use, can you then raise the price?
Wallahu a'lam. Naam.
If the item in the store, for example, you're selling phones for like $40, that's the usual price, for example. When you go inside the store and they have the tags, like $100, and it's a known, like they make it known, is that still considered as a khiyar al-adam?
What do you mean? What is it again?
For example, all the stores that sold it for $40.
Uh-huh.
In this one store, they have it written on the price tags right there.
Yeah.
They're not hiding it. Is it still considered as taking advantage?
Yeah, if everybody else, if there's five stores and four of them sell it for $40, and you go to this one man's store over here, he's got it for $100. That's higher than the market price. Yeah, this is not going to be allowed. He's going to have the choice. He's going to be, wait a second, you got me for $60. Everybody else is selling the item for $60 or for $40, right? Yeah, that's the case. He would have the option, and Allah knows best. This is with people who abide by the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. So maybe Walmart doesn't abide by the legislation, Allahu A'lam, or Dillard's, or wherever else people are shopping at, right? But we know the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we abide by them. So if we do business in these limits. Huh? You understand? Yeah, but if somebody, and you have that, right? Whether they're going to give it to you or not, that's another story. That's another story. Wallahu a'lam. Uh-huh. Huh? Is there, what is it?
Undercut of competition. For example, you might have a good product on clothes and you buy some 40. You bring your customers, you must get 30 or 25.
Mm-hmm. Wallahu a'lam. We discussed that, inshallah. There's the issue of the rukban. Initially, in general, you can normally sell whatever you like, any for the prices that the people agree upon. So if you want to sell for a bit cheaper because you have a lot of it, then inshallah, it should be. No, the origin is that these affairs are lawful. Is that these affairs are lawful. Now, what is it?
There are items which are produced in Europe, which are produced in Asia.
Uh-huh.
The products which are produced in India and in China and somewhere, and then in Germany or in Italy or in England, they have different prices within the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Quality. The quality. But the same item. The same item. You have different prices. What is the thing? What would be the condition?
I don't understand. If the price is higher because the quality is better, then that's normal.
The item from Europe is expensive. The same item.
Mm-hmm.
The same item. And the same item from Asia.
It's going to be according to the land that you live in, because some things are available in certain lands and not available here.
Yeah, no, they are different. The same item.
Yeah.
Different.
Because they're more readily available in this land and not available in that land, for example. Or the market value in this country is different than the market value in this country because of the economy of this country or the economy of that country. So wherever you're at, it's according to the customs. Allahu a'lam. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Allahu Akbar.